What if you could do the most good as a Jesus follower right where you are? Jesus sent out his disciples into town and country ministries to extend his message, to extend his reach. And as Jesus followers, this training model that he used is something that I believe we need to claim as we flip the script in equipping the rural church. So this message is part two of a workshop that I'm presenting at the Covenant Annual Midwinter Conference this week with pastor and chair of the Town and Country Commission, John Dietrich. So based on Mark 6, Jesus' model of ministry, Jesus puts this into practice with his 12 disciples, and he reveals how the places that you are already volunteering, the places you are working and serving in your communities are most likely the spaces where you can do the most kingdom good without adding more roles to your already busy life. How's that sound? Which today I think is good news, because most of you are already over-volunteering and over-committed with very little margin for more in your lives. Coming off of a long preaching series where we were just talking about rest and the need for this rhythm in our life, we want to be consistent. And I think this method of ministry actually plays into having a healthy rhythm of life and not making you to do more than you are already doing. So, how do you leverage the places and the spaces where we are, where we are already serving, for the mission of making followers and making followers of Jesus? So let's explore this possibility. Last week we looked at the high calling that you have as a disciple of Jesus in a town and country church. Wherever you serve God, it's not a small role, right? But especially, I think, in the rural ministries, in the town and country context, because this transcends your life, the work that you do. Your work has eternal impact. You are reaching people in your community with a life-giving message of repentance, of forgiveness in Jesus' name. And this ministry actually brings hope. And it brings healing, and it brings reconciliation to the lives of the people that matter most to you. And it also has the power to bring an eternal impact for all those who respond. So I think that the rural mission field is one of the most neglected in the past 25 years. So we have seen churches in the town and country setting, close one after another after another, and no new church plants are replacing them, which means that each church closure represents not just those people who were participating and now are disconnected from their family of faith, but it also represents the extended families that ultimately would one day have come through the ministries of those churches. In Mark 6, the gospel shows that Jesus sends out his disciples into towns and villages, right? Like the ones we live in. And he did most of his ministry in rural spaces. I think that's significant to recognize. He showed his disciples what it meant to go in these spaces from passive listeners and learners sitting with Jesus to being these hands-on kingdom ambassadors. And so it was a high calling then, when Jesus sent out his 12, and I believe it is still a high calling today. So it's a calling that is worked out through a very simple model. So as a town and country church, I believe this model is something that we need to reclaim in equipping the rural church for healthy, missional, Christ-centered ministry to reach our communities. So this example in Mark 6 is a 2x2 model. Say 2x2. You've heard the song, possibly, about Noah and the Ark. The ants go marching 2x2. You know, Jesus sends out his disciples. All right. I probably won't share that in the conference. You're helping me out here. The best part is that in many ways, you are already right in the right place for this kind of model of ministry. As the church, we need to learn how to leverage this advantage for kingdom impact. So last week, we touched on the reality that rural ministry is not minimal, right? It's not laid back. It's not calm. It's, in fact, I think the opposite. It's robust and it's full of opportunity. We talked about how people still come to the church to meet needs that are unmet in other places, which means that we almost have unlimited opportunities to minister and serve in Christ's name. The problem is that it seems we lack the volunteers to meet those opportunities. So every rural community recognizes and knows the need for workers and volunteers, right? There's just not enough people to do everything that needs to be done. Jesus said to pray for workers for the harvest field. And I trust that you have been praying, right, for those workers. So what if God has already answered your prayer? What if the workers have already arrived? What if you are the answer to that prayer? I've always been of the mindset that we need more help, right? More help, more volunteers, which also means people are being asked to do more. I'm not saying it's not true, but I am saying that maybe I need a mindset shift just as much as the rural church when it comes to seeing God answer the prayer for workers. Dr. Martin Geese, he's a rural practitioner, pastor, and author. He says, most rural churches are over-programmed for their size. Over-programmed. You know, there's many reasons for this. I get it. There's a tendency to keep adding new programs. You know, we go somewhere, we hear about a program that really works well in another church, seems like it would work good for us, so we add it. The problem is we forget to delete the programs that we used to have. And I'm this way as well. You know, when we have a program that has worked great, that people have come to Christ or have grown in their faith, you know, I want to see that program continue, even if it is past its effectiveness, even if it needs to end. So I'm the first to say that we need to end programs. Pastor John Dietrich, he says that church volunteers are too busy and too few to lead or volunteer in all the church programs, which leaves the unfortunate side effect that leaders become overworked, volunteers are burned out, and we end up bitter and blaming in our ministries. You don't do enough. Another glaring effect is that pastors across the spectrum are burning out at alarming rates. So after kind of peaking post-pandemic, the number of pastors who are actively considering quitting the ministry is still about 1 out of 3. I think that's alarming, and even more alarming is that younger pastors, the percentage is even higher, those that we would expect to be in for the long haul. So I would call this a pastoral crisis. You know, there are multiple factors for this, but I think one of the biggest ones are unrealistic expectation for the role of pastors. Now, in the conference, when we're talking to pastors and leaders, I'm going to ask them to just kind of make a list of what those roles that they do in their church, you know, either solo pastors or small staff pastors and leaders. What are you doing? What roles are you filling? And I can guarantee you that for all of them, that list is too long. Pastor John argues this very same thing. He says we need a shift in the expectation we hold for our leaders. So let's go back to the Ephesians 4 passage from part 1 of this passage and look what the Apostle Paul writes to the churches about the pastoral job description. He writes in Ephesians 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service." Now if we stop right there, what is the pastor's primary role in this job description? To equip people for works of service, right? That's what the apostle says. So the pastor isn't to do all the work of ministry. In fact, he even isn't even supposed to do most of the work of ministry. It says the pastor is responsible to equip the people so they can go out and do the work of ministry that Jesus calls them to in this 2x2 ministry model. So now let's go through the whole passage in Ephesians again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that, now we come to the purpose, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all, say all, reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the goal here, right, is maturity for the whole church, that we are all experiencing all of Christ, and that requires that all of us are part of this work of ministry. And the pastor's job is to equip the church, to equip you in order to experience all of Christ. So it's not an experience of doing more and more. It's the experience of the joy and that deep sense of purpose and fulfillment of being that vibrant Christ-centered church, of experiencing all of Jesus as his follower, as you are living out the God-given mission and ministry that he has called you to in the power of God. And you know, I get excited about that when I see and experience others experiencing God. That's amazing. And it doesn't happen if I'm doing all the work and you're missing out on God at work in you. So how does that connect with not doing more and more as a volunteer? Well, chances are you're already volunteering or serving in your mission field. You're right where you're supposed to be. So what if we could unleash you and others to serve kingdom purposes where you already are? What would that take? What kind of a shift might that need when it comes to equipping the rural church? How might we need to look at that? Pastor John believes that, you know, I got to go back for a minute here because it just sounds like I wanted to get out of a job, didn't it? and that's not the case. There are seasons and times when, you know, we all are called to do things and work and be involved. But if that continues over and over and over where the pastor is doing everything, then the pastor is not doing his job. So, Pastor John believes that the Mark 6 principle has everything to do with equipping the people to serve, not in the church, but in their mission field outside the church. This is a mind shift. He asks, where do we employ most of our volunteers in ministry? We do it inside the church, right? So though volunteers are needed for this equipping work, he suggests that we're missing out when we're asking our best volunteers to do more ministry in the church and missing the high calling of equipping them to work in their mission fields outside the church. He believes that every church's biggest impact is its community. It's not what happens on Sunday morning or weekday or all the ministries that we've been talking about as we make announcements here. He says that instead, our biggest impact is church attenders living out their Christian faith in their everyday lives in the many places that you already work and serve. Interesting, right? Our biggest impact for our communities, which we want to reach and which we want to serve, is not right here. It's out there. In other words, our equipping target for works of service isn't Sunday morning, isn't Wednesday. It's fully formed disciples who live out their faith in their everyday lives. So how would flipping the script, you know, kind of like this, reframe the kind of volunteers our churches attract and engage? So if that's our primary target, how does that change how we view this and who participates? In Luke's gospel, the sending of the 72 is recorded, and their response in verse 17, I think it's telling. Luke says, he writes, the 72 returned from being sent out with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. That's interesting, right? The disciples are overjoyed and I think kind of surprised at the amazing things that are happening when God has sent them out, when they're in the power of God, and what is happening in the mission fields, in their local towns, in their local villages, to all the places he went. They went. Pastor John shares that it'll take a mindset shift for us to start to view our impact in this way, and we'll need to focus less on getting our best discipled Christians in the church buildings to do ministry and more on unleashing them to go be the church in their community. So flipping the script on equipping the church requires a return to this Jesus approach, who taught his closest disciples so that they could go out into their communities. So the approach sees the worship setting and the church gatherings that we have here as opportunities for equipping. These are equipping events. The idea that we're being equipped to go out and do what God, Christ has called us to outside, it is also opportunity to share all that God has been doing while we have been out there at work. So John shares that this Sunday morning church service functions like the halftime speech of a football game, helping church attenders to move from spectators to active participants. Everybody want to get out on the field? The game then would be their everyday lives. The field would be where they already are. So we already see this kind of ministry, I believe, here at Bethlehem Church with many of you. And one example of that Jesus ministry model is Mark Horman. I asked Mark if I could share his story, and he said, yeah, most people know already. Mark coaches junior high football, and he's also on the senior high coaching staff. And as he works with students, he shares and models his values and character as a Christ follower with these students. And then he has the added benefit of serving here at Bethlehem on the youth team and with the youth group students. And so the connections he already has in the coaching role become normal and natural avenues for him to speak gospel truth into the lives of students, the ones that he mentors and that he already shares faith with in the community. And so Mark does, right, almost double duty. He volunteers here and in the church. But for him, it's almost this natural connection. As I hear him speaking about it and talking about it, it reinforces the relationships in his community for kingdom purpose. So when students come to youth group, they connect with a Jesus follower that they already know on and off the field. So in the workshop, I'm going to ask the pastors, what will it take to flip the script on equipping the church? What will it take for the pastors? And the right answer for the pastors is this: to stop doing the majority of the work in the church. So as a church attender, how do you feel about that? You're pretty quiet. Go for it. There you go. Go for it. That doesn't mean that pastors can just kick back and let things go undone unless they need to go undone. But it means that pastors and leaders need to do a better job of intentionally equipping congregations to live out their faith in their mission fields, and that is by engaging the two-by-two model. So let's take a look at this Mark 6 passage again, and to see what we can glean out of that. So it says, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money, or belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you come to a house, stay there until you leave the town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So the disciples went out, preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Mark 6, 6 through 12. So I see three principles for the rural church in this equipping, flipping the script, as we look at this, and for our own individual mission fields. So I think it's worth noting again that this model is happening where? In rural places, right? Small town, villages, and towns. So calling the 12 to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two. My experience has been in small communities that life is about participating, not spectating. And Jesus didn't expect his disciples just to sit around and listen to his teaching. It was part of it, right? It was a necessary part of it. But he was equipping them for something more, to go out and do what he did. When I was a boy on the farm, Dad was always training me to do the work that he did. So when he was going to be gone, he prepared me to take over the chores to do on my own. And one of those jobs was carrying feed from the feed mill in the barn in 5-gallon pails out to the feed bunk and dumping them in. Well, Dad filled 2 big full pails and carried them across the barnyard. I filled 2 pails and I hardly could move. I wasn't quite big enough. So Dad had this brilliant idea. He said, fill them half full and make 2 trips. Right? So the point being that if I simply filled them half full, I could begin to imitate what he was doing and I could get the job done. I think, you know, it's a great example of this 2x2 model. Duplicate yourself by training others to do what you do. Before I was a pastor, my pastor, Terry Sletto, would take me with him to the nursing home, and he would have me read a scripture. So when I got good at reading the scripture, then he would up the ante, and he would say, okay, Tim, share a testimony. Unfortunately, he never told me that before we got there. But he would do that, so then I would share a testimony. And when I got proficient at that, he would say, give the message. And I would say, no way. And so then I wouldn't. And then he would ask a little bit later, Tim, come, are you ready to share a message yet? No. And then he would ask again, Tim, come, are you ready to share a message yet? Okay. And finally, I did. And eventually, that's how it went. So some of you are already out in the mission field, right? You're already doing this work that God has called you to. You really need to add one more thing to what you do, and that is take someone with you. It's a 2x2 ministry. Take someone that you can model what you do to them so that they can gain some experience and see how it's done, 2x2. For some of you, it may be really intimidating to think about having a spiritual conversation or praying with somebody, but you know you need to go see them. What do? Bring somebody with you. Take somebody. Give me a call and say, Pastor Tim, I need to go see someone. Would you come with me? Sure, I'll come with you, and we'll model this 2x2 ministry so that you can then be comfortable and do it yourself, and that one day you too can take someone with you. Some of us just need to carry half a pail of feed and keep carrying until one day we can do the whole job. That's becoming mature in Christ. That's experiencing the fullness of all of Christ. So the truth is that most volunteers in rural communities, and I include myself in this, aren't experts in everything we do. You don't need to be excellent. Sometimes you just need to be willing and take that first step. Go out and practice and get better. And as leaders and pastors, I don't need to do everything. I don't need to expect you to do everything perfectly. I just need to give you the opportunity to serve. Which brings us to the second equipping principle in the rural church in this passage. It is to rely on God's power. In John 15:5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. I am coming up against that over and over and over again, and I'm actually getting comfortable with it. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I often tell myself when I'm going into an impossible situation, Tim, there's nothing you can do that's going to fix this except bring the presence of Christ and allow Jesus to do his work. Sometimes we just have to be willing to show up so that Christ can work through us. It's not your power. It's God's. He prepared his disciples for the mission, Jesus did, and now it was time for them to go out. But they weren't on their own, and this is key. A few chapters earlier in the Mark 3, Jesus gave them authority. And I think sometimes we miss this, that we have authority in Jesus' name. Mark 3:14 says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So authority makes his followers official representatives of Jesus himself. His authority to speak the gospel, his authority to do supernatural ministry, in other words, things that we cannot do on our own. So I think we tend to think that it's on us, but really it isn't, is it? It's on God. The kingdom of God comes with power in Jesus' name. So when we do ministry, don't do it in your own power. Don't think that you have to have it all figured out. Don't even think that, well, oftentimes ministry like this means you have more questions than answers, but as you step in, God brings those answers. It's his power at work through you. So Mark records the power and authority of Jesus at work in verse 12 of the sixth passage. He says, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So again, this equipping process, there should always be an element of I can't. I can't. I can't, I can't, I can't. But Jesus can through me. So which points us to the third and final equipping principle, which is complete trust in God's provision. So we have a tendency to believe in a scarcity mindset. It seems more prevalent in the rural church. And there's reasons for that. I think it makes sense. We get by with less. We often experience either slow growth or seasons of decline. There never seems to be enough, no matter how hard we work. That seems to work against our kind of trusting that God is going to provide everything that's needed, or even that God has already provided everything that's needed. Jesus wanted to equip his disciples with a complete trust mindset before they went out. He said, these were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread. Now, I have a problem with that. No food? Come on. No bread, no bag, no money or in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. So if we think about this in our modern context, all they have is what's on their back, right? They are sent out. No extra shirt. Might come in handy on a day like today when you're trying to keep warm. Jesus wanted them to trust God for everything they needed. Everything. This day-by-day trust through the hospitality of those that they ministered to. So it gives the impression that there's an urgency to this message, to this work, that they can't wait around till they get everything that they think they need before they begin the work. They need to know that God's going to provide for them as they step out. Now we're doing a celebration here on February 2nd, celebrating and saying, look what God has done. I think it's such a marvelous example of your faith and your trust in God's provision. Who could have imagined but God? So what provisions do you think you need before you're ready to go out? There's an urgency to this message. Jesus will provide what is needed as they go. Our message is the same as it has always been. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's in Jesus. Repent and believe the good news. So John Sanders, a pastor and author of Rural Church Rescue, A Call to Restore Healthy Missional Churches in North America, he compares the rural church to a volunteer fire department. Now, if you're on a fire department, you really get this. When a fire breaks out, the rescue mission is too big for one person, right? Everybody comes. Everybody responds to that call. Everybody gets sent out in order to fight the fire, in order to rescue the occupants there. You know, it's urgent. It has to happen. So the church is God's rescue mission in your community, in our community. And friends, you are the church, right? We are the church. Say that with me. We are the church. You are God's rescue mission. A woman not long ago called the church for help. She was at the LEC through a series of very unfortunate events. I ended up without a place to stay in Wheaton. Now, LEC knew that we could help, so through the Ministerial Crisis Fund of our community, churches in Wheaton were able to put her up for a few days, a few nights lodging. A few days later, we reconnected. She was getting some regional resource that was going to help her get some housing out of town. She was waiting for her ride to go. I said, is there anything you need? And she said, yeah, you know what? I'm really hungry. I haven't eaten in 24 hours. I looked at my watch and said, well, it's about lunchtime, so I can't help you. I have to go eat. No, actually, I said this. I'm practicing two by two. Cheryl how'd you like to do something, a good deed? And without knowing, she said, yeah. So I explained the situation. She went to Subway. She bought a meal. She said, I supersized it and got extra cookies and things because I knew that's what you would want. So she knows me pretty well. And then she brought it over to this person where she was waiting for her ride. And the person saw her, and she stood up and looked at her and said, is that for me? And Cheryl said, yes. And with tears in her eyes, she walked over and put her arms around Cheryl and gave her just a big hug. And for that person, she knew the kingdom of heaven is near. The woman with a simple Subway meal believes it's true. So this is the work that we are called to, and it's too big for one person. The church's role is to equip you as a follower of Jesus to do the work of ministry in the places you already are and already serve. The body of Christ in that way will be built up so that we all reach the unity of the faith and become mature, experiencing all of Christ. So it's time for the rural church to flip the script and unleash you to serve Christ right where you are. Let's pray. Father, it is a compelling message, the good news of the gospel, and it is a compelling call to know that each one of us is part of sharing that message. And Lord, I ask if there's anyone here today that is seeking to step into all of you, all that you have for them, I pray that they would reach out to you and call out to you that for the equipping. Lord, to be called into that mission field where you already have them. And Lord, I pray that we as churches, specifically here at Bethlehem, that we would seek to equip one another for that work of ministry. That we would take seriously this two-by-two call. And Lord, I even pray right now that you would prompt someone and wherever they are serving and ministering, to invite someone into that space, to invite someone to tag along and to find out what it means and to gain experience. But Lord, ultimately, that each one of us would trust you and your power and your provision for that work that you have called us to. Lord, so others may know you and your love. And praise you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.